Hallelujah. Holy is the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad he's holy. I'm glad he's righteous and just and pure. I'm thankful. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you to all of our singers, musicians, ushering in the presence of God, that we can come and worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to go to the Word of God. If you would stand to your feet, we're going to go to 1 Kings 17, starting with verse 1. Why don't you look at your neighbor and say, hey, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. All right. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Lord Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Touch every Sunday school teacher this morning, every class, every student. Let your word make its way into our hearts and into our minds. Lord, we ask for a fresh anointing, a fresh outpouring of your spirit, O God. God, every word that I speak this morning, that I speak in love and in truth and in your will, O God, I give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. What a wonderful, wonderful congregation this morning. Welcome to all of our guests. We have some from Shreveport and from right here down the street. And we're just glad that each and every one of you are here this morning to worship with us. And we're going to have a good time in Jesus today. My title is, what do you do? What do you do when you can't make it rain? What do you do when everything you try is turned upside down? Everything you do just goes haywire. The great prophet Elijah, he was sent by God to tell Ahab that no rain was going to fall in Israel for 42 months. And with great confidence, this man who had heard from God goes before this wicked king, and he makes this proclamation, and he declares war on the enemy with God in his corner, and he makes some bold statements, and God backs him up on everything he said. And though his words were accurate, Elijah had no idea that the drought would severely affect his life also. Sometimes God allows things to happen and it affects you in a bad way also. And for a while, he drinks from the brook Cherith, and unaffected by his own declaration. But soon even that dries up, and Elijah is suffering the consequences of his own victory. And the incredible declaration that took place only a few minutes, and that only took a few minutes for him to present to the king, Elijah spends the next 3.5 years waiting on rain, just like the king and all the inhabitants of the land. And because the majority of our lives, of your life, will be spent waiting on God, it's clear we need to know more instruction on waiting and have more instruction on waiting than we do on miracles. Everybody wants to run and jump and holler and shout, oh, we had a great service. The preacher didn't even get to preach. But I'm telling you, I want to hear the word of God. I don't want an emotional roller coaster. I want seed to be planted in my heart that I can apply it to the stuff I'm dealing with on a daily basis. And I'm waiting on God. I might not see the miraculous instantaneously, but I'm waiting on God. And during the drought, Elijah was refreshed by the brook and Cherith, and he was supplied with food by the ravens. Could you imagine having a delivery by some ravens bringing you food every morning, every evening? Don't have to get out. They're just going to bring it, and there it is. But, you know, the brook eventually dries up, and the ravens, they retired. They stopped having a fast food service, if you will, and they went out of business. And Elijah, he needed a miracle of rain. He needed some water. He needed some refreshment. And from the human perspective, that certainly seemed to be what he needed. But Elijah may have asked for rain. I'm sure he prayed, "Oh God, the brook is dried up. I'm thirsty. What am I going to do?" But God's season had not come yet. And it wasn't time for the rain to fall yet. And although most of us believe in God's miraculous power, we would have to be honest this morning and admit that we're probably, we have spent more time in prayer and in waiting on God for the miracle than actually seeing the miracle happen. Patience, diligence, seeking the face of God and the will of God. We also must admit that many times what we think we need and what God thinks we need is completely different. That's not always an easy pill to swallow. But God, you said, if you ask, you shall receive. Well, yes, that's true. But you might not receive it in the form or fashion that you think it should be. God has an ultimate, ultimate plan for each and every one of us. And can I tell you this morning, no matter what you're facing, no matter what facet of life you're dealing with, a situation, God has, He has you in mind. He knows right where you are. He knows the number of hair on your head. He knows what you're going through. We've just got to trust in God. And Elijah, he soon discovered the truth that we too must acknowledge. At times, we need God's direction more than His mighty acts. There are times, I'm going to be honest, there are times, Brother Baggett has said it many times, you can tell a lot about someone how they drive. And there are times when I drive, I can tell you there's a lady sitting over here on my left, about the third pew or so, that she can drive that car she's got. There's a man on the right over here that's got a foot too that I think he has lead in his shoe. Because we turned the corner up there and he hit it, and I mean, he was gone. Yeah. You can tell a lot about a person by how they drive. I pulled up by the sweetest couple. They are so precious. I'm telling you, they support everything. They do everything. They'll be at anything you have. Drives a red Toyota, beautiful, sitting right over here. Just as sweet a couple as you would ever want to meet, sitting over here to my right. I won't point any fingers or name names. But I pulled up by him out here at 108, and I smiled. He never looked at me. He just hit it, and phew, he was gone. We get to the church. He's grinning like a possum. I'm like, man, that thing is fast. But you can tell a lot of, now there are some people in driving, when they're driving, I want to zap them. I wish I had a button on my dash that I could just zap them. There was a car the other day sitting at a light, had a green arrow for 5 minutes and sat there. Yeah, I didn't honk my horn because someone precious was in front of me and I didn't want to honk my horn because they would have thought I was honking at them. And his horn doesn't work because he was over there hitting his horn. But I didn't honk mine because he was in front of me. But I had a button, an imaginary button that I wish I could have pushed, just zapped that person in front to go. We had to sit through an entire line, almost sat through the second one. But you can tell a lot about a person. It's a good thing that we can't do to people what we really want to do sometimes. It's a good thing that God doesn't say, well, God, just zap them. It's a good thing he doesn't always listen to some of our prayers. You know, there are times that we need God's direction. And we need his mercy. Because there are times when, you know, I sit through a light. I've only done it once. Felt like an idiot. But I did it. But I didn't remember that the other day when that lady was sitting through that green arrow. But there are situations that you will run into, and there will be trials, and there will be circumstances that you that will happen sometimes on a daily basis that you just got to stop and just say, God, no will, but your will be done. God, I don't understand. It wasn't too many months ago that I was supposed to be somewhere, and I was on my way there, and I had to stop and get gas, and the pump I put in my car, and it wouldn't take it. I had to go inside and have them run the car because the machine was broke outside. And it took me about 3 minutes extra, and it was wasting my time. And I was flustered about it. Man, I can't believe this pump don't work. As much money as y'all make, y'all should have this pump working. I got back out on the road, headed out, and it wasn't very far up the road. There had been a major accident. And just that little bit of time, I mean, just happened. The police hadn't even arrived yet, but just that little bit of time. Who's to say that I couldn't have been a part of that? God knows what is best for you. When you think it's not going right, just trust God. He is going to step up on your behalf, and he's going to not take you out of the storm. He's going to see you through the storm. So Elijah discovered some truths that we have to acknowledge. If we allow ourselves to be overwhelmed with what we need, we may miss what God says. I don't want to miss God. I don't want to miss God. I have been, in every prayer I've been lacing lately, God, I want your will. I know what I want. I know what I would like to happen. I know what my desires are as a fleshly man, as a human, as somebody who wants to be successful in life. But God, I want your will first. I want your blessing first. The things God does for us may not last forever. But what God says will have a lasting impact on us and the generations to come. The key to receiving God from God is being committed to what he says. Although at this moment, you know, you may be able to, you know, be unable to make it rain in your life and make the situation go away in your life, you can set your heart to hear the instructions of the Lord. So what do you do when you can't make it rain? When you can't make things work out? When your plan A, B, and C doesn't work? What do? Look to Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let him be in control. That's what you do. You just turn it over to God and let him take control. Psalms 37, verse 4 and 5. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Hallelujah. You know, he might not bring it to pass the way you or I want it to come to pass. It might not happen in a time frame exactly like you think it should, but he will bring it the way he wants to bring it, and it's going to happen. That word delight there, that word delight in this passage means to be soft or delicate or pliable. You know, if you've ever worked with training people or dealing with people and maybe in management or working with people as an employee, employer, it's a lot easier to work with someone who is pliable or teachable. They don't have it all figured out, and they tell you how you should run your, but they say, you know, hey, I messed up. I'll do it the way you want me to do it. Show me. I'm teachable. I'm pliable. You can work with somebody like that. And then they listen to what you say. They retain what you say, and they do what you say. Those are the kind of people that you can work with. They delight. They're a delight to work with. They're soft. They're delicate. They're pliable. To delight in the Lord means to say, God, I don't understand what you're doing, but I'm not going to fight it. I don't understand why it's going the way it's going, God, but I'm trusting you. I'm not going to buck you. I'm not going to fight you. God, I don't know what you're doing in my life, but I'm not going to get hard or bitter, get a bad attitude. You know, that's where good communication comes in. Don't get your feelings hurt and leave. Communicate. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. I'm sorry. There's got to be a communication. That comes from relationship. We're back to that word relationship. So when you have a right relationship with God, you can delight. You can be pliable. You can be teachable. You can be soft and delicate. And you're a delight to work with. Why? Because you have a relationship. I'm not a Christian because it's always fun or easy. I'm a Christian because I love God and I want to please God. I don't act how I act or do what I do because I have to or I'm forced to. I do it because there's a love relationship between me and God, and I want to be pleasing to God and the things of God and the house of God. You know, there's some things as a little boy I was just taught. I walk into the house of God, it bugs me to wear a cap. Personally, it bugs me. I don't wear a hat. I take off my hat out of respect. There are things you would do. If the president of the United States walked through the door, it is reverent to stand. Not, you don't have to like the man, but the office that he carries, you respect that office. So there's a relationship between you and God, and you love God, and you want to please God. You know, I want my wife to be happy, and she's not in here to hear any of the good stuff, but I want her to be happy. I want her to be successful. And to not have to worry about certain things. So there's things that she doesn't even ask me about or know about. I just take care of it because of our relationship. There are things that I want to protect her from. God, I just don't like the way this is going. But I'm not going to give any resistance, Lord. I'm just going to trust in you. And that's the bottom line. You just got to trust in Jesus and the Word of God and the things of God. Elijah could have panicked, but it wouldn't have done him any good. He could have tried to preserve or reverse the curse, but it wasn't God's time yet. And what God has blessed is blessed, and what God has cursed is going to be cursed. And he could have walked away and gone to another country to try to find water, but it was God's will for him to be right where he was in the middle of this situation. It was God's perfect plan. He